Parliament, as well as the guests, the media, to this meeting. The meeting, the department was invited to come and brief the two committees, the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee on Employment and Labor, on the strategic plans of the Department of Employment and Labor, as well as the annual performance plans. But also we'll be getting a briefing from the department on the supported employment enterprise. So those will be the two presentations that we'll be getting. We'll get the briefings at the same time, and then members will then ask questions as soon as we're done with the presentation. For now, I'll ask the committee secretary to indicate who is present, who has made an apology. After that, then we will deal with the presentation, questions and answers, and the last item will be the confirmation of the last minute, the minutes of the meeting of the 1st of May. So that's how we'll be proceeding with our meeting. The meeting is scheduled only for 2 hours this week. As from next week, all meetings will then be for 3 hours. But for this week, all meetings are only for 2 hours. Ms. Solomon, can you tell us those who are present from the NCOP?
good afternoon, Chair. Yes, we've got Mr. Dango, Mr. Moimang, Mr. Brotesis, Ms. Boshoff. Those are the members that I see that are present.
Okay. From the NA side, Zolan.
Thank you, Honorable. We've got Honorable Nkabane, Honorable Nontsele, Honorable Denner, Honorable Yinana, Honorable Ntlangwini, and Honorable Zuma.
Okay.
From the staff chair, we've got myself, committee secretary, we've got the content advisor, Sibongiseni Ngcobo, and we've got the researcher, Tebogo Mokoena. Thank you, Chair. There's an apology from the CA, committee assistant.
Can we also get from the NCOP the staff so that they don't choose to attend or not to attend because we are not in the same room?
Okay. Just one further member that just joined, Honorable Lansman. And then in terms of the staff, we've got Ludumo Sishuba, the content advisor for the committee. And then we also got Indiriko Bazir, the committee assistant. There is an apology from the committee secretary, my fellow committee secretary, Grace Nozipibo Denizulu. She is having some issues with regards to her connection, but I am present for the meeting.
Okay.
And also, Chair Abdullah Hanif, our researcher, is also present.
Okay. No, thank you very much.
Sorry, Chair. Can I say that I was left out as Michael Bagram, and I also see the recording hasn't started yet. Are we going to be recording the meeting?
Yes, no, the meeting is going to be recorded. Can you take control of that, committee secretaries?
Thank you very much. We've done the recording now. And sorry, Mr. Bagram, I didn't see him. He's joined. And also see Bo Maputi from the communications officer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I was indicating earlier, honorable members, is that we have a list of members of the Portfolio Committee that are members of this Committee on Employment and Labor, as well as names of members of the Select Committee on Employment and Labor. So what we will then do, when it comes to question time, we'll just call out the name of a member. And if you find you're not having a question, you can just indicate as such. But if we will give each one 3 minutes, and if you have a question that are more than 3 minutes, you can use the chat icon to ask add a question using the chat icon. We will then ask the department, the DG, and also the minister to also look at the meeting chat icon so that they also respond to questions that are on the icon. I know there's a member from Limpopo, Honorable Matevula, who always struggle to connect. Even when she's connected, she's unable to use her microphone, and she sometimes prefers to write her questions on the chat icon. So that's why then I would encourage also the minister and the director general to also look at the that chat icon to see if there are any questions, so that they use that, they check those questions so that they respond to those questions. So do we agree, members, with the approach that will call out their names, but also each member will get 3 minutes, but if you could do further questions outside the 3 minutes, then you can use the chat icon. Can you agree on that?
Yes, Chair. Can I speak? It's the chair of NA.
Yes.
Chair, in agreeing, I think we must formally, as the Portfolio Committee of National, welcome Honorable Ntlangwini in our midst, and we hope we are all going to participate. It's unfortunate that we are welcoming her during this time, but you must feel free to participate. Honorable Ntlangwini, you are welcome. Two, Chair, I just want to propose, I think, given the limited care, I think it's too much. Can it be two, on condition that members are
Honorable Chair.
I don't know whether the challenge is on my side or on her side because she's breaking.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Chair. Can you also put on your camera? Can you put on your camera, please?
It's on. I'm on camera, Chair.
We can only see Chair. M. Or you're in
camera. Yeah, no.
Okay.
I see you. Chair, I just want to make a proposal. Can't we only put our videos, on when we speak? But when we don't speak, it's only yours that remain on. This is so that we limit the interference. Because if we don't do that, it's going to continuously to disrupt us, the network. Also, switch off the cell phones as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Vice. Thank you very much. Honorable Dunzo, you were breaking, so I really couldn't catch what you were saying. If you can, please repeat.
No, what I was saying, Chair, was welcoming Honorable Ntlangwini because it's her first time in this, and she has joined the Portfolio Committee in the National Assembly. Secondly, Chair, I was also proposing a different approach or a different view that says instead of 3 minutes, why is it that we don't have two so for questions? So that we don't take much, we've got only 2 hours for this committee for now this week. So instead of 3, can it be 2? Thank you, Chair. And be straight to the point when asking questions. No preambles.
All right. So I know my experience is that I've seen members almost finishing the 3 minutes or sometimes want to go to the fourth one, but we'll manage it. Let's take this opportunity then to Hello, I've got cut for some time. Sorry. Let's take this opportunity to welcome the minister and ask the minister to give us an overview. And thereafter, the DG can take us through the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson of the Select Committee and the Chair of the Portfolio Committee. I was worried we're not hearing your voice, but we're hearing the barking of dogs. The Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister, the DG Commissioners, and the Inspector General, the DDGs and Senior Management, the members of the media, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity. The relevant officials will make a detailed presentation to the joint committees regarding the plans, the inspection, and the enforcement services, and of course the public employment services. Just to provide the context, I will not talk about EUIF, but it's good for the members, although we're not dealing with it, to track it, that we've already paid 9 billion of COVID test benefits, which we've distributed to the employers and the bargaining council, just as a by the way. And the CF, similarly, is strengthening its systems in anticipation of the increased claims as the virus spreads through the workplaces. The IES last week, I also highlighted, Chairperson, the important role of the inspection and enforcement branch during the pandemic in enforcing health and safety standards. They will be presenting today, but I need to flag that their role is likely to increase in terms of reactive inspections of the breaches of the lockdown, especially in relation to health and safety regulations. And I also need to flag that we are moving into stage 4 of the lockdown, part of the risk-adjusted gradual approach of government to reopening the economy whilst continuing to take measures to slow down the spread of the coronavirus. As the Department of Employment and Labor, and in terms of Occupational Health and Safety Act and the National Disaster Regulation or legislation, we have issued, some of you might have seen, very detailed regulations to cover the preparations for the reopening of the workplaces, including just quickly, amongst others, the need to conduct risk assessment and develop a plan for reopening, the provision of the PPEs, hygiene, provision of sanitizers, soap, water, reconfiguration, and workplaces to ensure social distance, testing, care for symptoms, and enforcement through the inspection. But I need to add that these regulations have been consulted with the partners and NEDLAC, but as they are being implemented, there might be from time to time the amendments which might be made. It's an important area to mention, especially for the public representatives. On the supported employment enterprises, I mentioned last week that these factories are now focused on the supply of the PPEs as well as hospital linen. They fall under IPES branch, the public employment services, which we'll be presenting today. On strategic planning today, the department, PERS and IES, will be presenting their strength plans and APPs. It's important that as a department, we do not just become overwhelmed by the present current crisis, that we lose sight of the need for longer-term strategic planning. In fact, the two have to go hand in hand. Indeed, as we look at the strength plan and the APPs of the department, I'm struck by how appropriate the fundamental mandate of the department is during the current crisis. Some examples, the constitutional mandate of the department, Section 24, to ensure an environment that is not harmful to the health and the well-being of those in the workplace. Section 27, to provide adequate social security net to protect the vulnerable workers. The medium-term strategic framework, the 7 priorities, particularly priority 2, economic transformation and job creation, priority 3, education, skills and health, 4, consolidating the social wage through the reliable and the basic services. And thank goodness for the UIF and the CF at this time. But COVID-19 has also shown a light of the gaps that remain, particularly for non-standard workers, the informal sector, and those with no access to the social grants. These issues are now firmly on the agenda. Let me just flag, Chairperson, in relation to IES plans, it's important to point out that these were built upon decisions implemented from 2012 to introduce the professionalization and the specialization of the inspectorate, so that today we have a cadre of highly qualified and experienced specialized health and safety inspectors able in the environment with hazardous materials. Additional recruitment and training will increase the present number of 170 health and safety officers to 670. The department is looking at using accredited registered inspection bodies to increase its reach. I also need to flag the important role of the inspectorate in enforcing compliance with labor laws. Without them, we would not be in a position to support laid-off workers through the UIF. In relation to PERS plans, let me flag the importance of the development of the national employment policy, including a migration policy, an employment scheme framework, and reconfiguration of the labor activation program to prioritize the sustainable jobs. Given the new challenges, this policy has become a very urgent priority. And lastly, I'm saying it's planning for the new normal. We've all heard the phrases, new normal. There can be no going back. Nothing will ever be the same again. This is going to be radically affect our planning processes. Remember that plans before you are based on the pre-COVID data and projections. And these are the plans which we are presenting. In the weeks and months ahead, we are going to need to grapple with these new challenges, the whole different set of economic circumstances, reduction in the productive activity and increased unemployment, the new priorities, and the intensification of the trends that were already there, e.g., the effects of the 4IR, part of the changing future of work, the need to intensify job creation schemes, to name only a few. So as you scrutinize the plans presented to you today, it's important that the committee start asking questions about the impact of the health and economic crisis that currently engulfs us. Beyond that, let's use the current crisis as an opportunity to prepare for post-COVID-19 future, which takes us beyond the immediate challenges, to start to imagine a better world where we definitely defeat corruption, unemployment, poverty, and inequality. We dare not lose hope at this time. Even COVID-19 will pass. Again, thank you, Chairs, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I think at this stage, then, we'll ask the DG to lead the report up until 2:45. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to the Chairpersons and the Honourable Members. I'm assuming that somebody is loading the presentation. It's either Ms. Bronkhorst or Matapel.
Okay. Can you make it a full slide, please?
Whilst they are trying to load the presentation, Chair, I'm going to start at slide 12, because the minister has done an introductory part of our presentation. The minister has mentioned the government service delivery priorities and our strategic goals as a department. So I'm not going to go there. I'll just go straight to slide 15. That's the impact statement. We envisage a labor market which is conducive to decent employment. Next slide. In terms of priority one, the department will contribute to the priority one, which is capable, ethical, and developmental state. We do that through the administrative component of our department. The first outcome will be we want to have a functional and efficient and integrated government. We can do that as a department through that outcome indicator, which is to reduce the vacancies in the department. We're sitting at a baseline of 10. We want to make sure that we reduce and we improve on that baseline. The second indicator outcome is the acquisition, maintenance, and improvement of ICT services. We have a baseline of 95% availability. We want to improve it to 95% system availability, and ultimately we want to improve it to 100% because we are a transactional department. We process claims and all that, so it's important that system availability is at a highest level. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. The second priority is economic transformation and job creation. The minister has alluded to the work that we do as a department. And honorable members will remember that we had a job summit, and at the job summit, there was an agreement that out of that, 275,000 jobs will be created. I'm not even referring to the others that will be created as a result of the downstream jobs that will be created. So the ultimate figure that we have there is 275, and our department has to see to it that through the processes of NEDLAC, those 275,000 jobs are indeed created. The second one is the number of jobs created through the Presidential Comprehensive Youth Employment Interventions. Here we're referring to the number of youth not in employment, not in education, and not in training that should be absorbed in employment. There's a target, the overall target of government, which is 1 million youth jobs by 2024. As a department, through the programs that we run, will contribute just over 256,000 jobs. And those that contribution is disaggregated as indicated by those four bullets. Bullet one, public employment services, 190,000, supported employment enterprises and designated groups, 1,000. Unemployment insurance fund through a program called Labor Activation Program, 61,000. And the compensation fund, 4,000. The third one, 2.3, is employment policy developed, consulted, piloted, and implemented. And this is a new indicator. And the five-year target is that by 2024, an employment policy should be implemented. As the minister indicated, work has been done to make sure that there's a framework document, and we are well on our way to have this policy policy developed and so that it's ready. And the branch that is spearheading that is Public Employment Services. Next slide. Next slide, please. Then the third outcome is investing for accelerated inclusive growth. Here we're talking about the transformation of the labor market, transformation of the economy. We're using our instrument that we are using is employment equity legislation. Here we're referring to the number of inspections that we will do over the period of 5 years, which is 1,812. We refer to them as the DG reviews. Those are the reviews that we do to check whether companies indeed are complying with their own employment equity plans, and what they are reporting is what is contained in the employment equity plans. And the branch that is spearheading that is Inspection and Enforcement Services. And the fourth one is increased economic participation, ownership, access to resources, opportunities, and wage equality for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Here we using the national minimum wage as an instrument to assist us to achieve that outcome. And we're planning that over the five-year target, we will inspect 838 workplaces to ensure that they comply with the national minimum wage. And again, the responsibility of Inspection and Enforcement Services. Next slide. Priority three is education, skills, and health. And our outcome, which is safe and healthy work environment. The minister has highlighted the important role our inspectors are playing with regards to the prevalence of the prevention of the spread of coronavirus. We have a baseline of 23,000 inspections. We are planning that over the next 5 years we'll inspect or we'll conduct 421,620 inspections. And again, given the responsibility that we have, that may change. The next one is comprehensive social security under the priority number four, which is consolidating the social wage through reliable and basic services. Here we're referring to compliance enforced with the Unemployment Insurance Act, UIF Contributions Act, and COIT Act through the number of employer audits conducted per year. And the minister has alluded to the critical role that Unemployment Insurance Fund is playing and also the Compensation Fund is playing in the fight against the COVID-19. And here we have a five-year target of 131,000 over the period of 5 years. And again, this is spearheaded by the Inspection and Enforcement Services. Next slide. Priority six, social cohesion and safer communities. It refers to the equal opportunities, inclusion and redress. And again, the instrument that we're using here is Employment Equity Act. Over the next 5 years, we aiming to ensure that the Employment Equity Act is amended, enacted, and enforced by 2024. And the branch that is spearheading that is labor policy and industrial relations. The second outcome indicator there is at least 2% annual increase in the representation of Africans in senior and middle management level. Here we're referring to Africans, if you look at the baseline, the Africans constituted 23.2% and 40.2% at senior and middle management levels as reported by designated employers in the 2018 employment equity reporting period. Now, our five-year target, we set sector target and monitor to achieve at least 50% of middle and senior management African by 2024. So we will set sector targets here, and that's why it's important that the amendment of the Employment Equities Act is done so as to empower the minister to able to set sectoral targets. Equal opportunities, inclusion and redress, again, the number of persons with disabilities employed increased annually with at least 1.5% of the total workforce reported by designated employers. Over the five-year horizon, we set sector targets and monitor to achieve at least 2.5% of employed adults between the age of 15 and 65 will be persons with disabilities by 2024. Again, highlighting the importance of the amendment that I referred to. The next one is the development of income differential data collection tool for designated employers. Honorable members would remember that this also was the decision that was taken that formed part of the Job Summit framework agreement, that income differential data tool must be collected so that we can look at issues of wage disparities. And we use here for the five-year target, we're saying income differential data collection tool will be for designated employers will be developed and implemented by 2022. Again, that is spearheaded by labor market policy and industrial relations branch. Next slide. The next slide talks to priority 7, a better Africa and a better world. Here we're saying we as a country, we have country obligations to SADC and AU, and we want to make sure that those obligations are fulfilled. Over the five-year target, we've set 90% of obligations fulfilled, so we want to make sure that 90% of these obligations are fulfilled. And again, labor policy and industrial relation is responsible for that. Second is payment of South African contribution to international organization in which we are a member in full and on time. And South Africa's participation in international organization is secured to advance national interest. And again, is spearheaded by the labor policy and industrial relations. Next slide. The next slide is the annual performance plan for 2020 to 2021, outputs and output indicators. And that sets our annual and quarterly targets. Next slide. The next slide simply indicates the different programs that we have in the department. Administration, Inspection, Enforcement Services, Public Employment Services, Labor Police and Industrial Relations. Next slide. We'll start with Program 1, Administration. This branch has been allocated just over $1 billion to make sure that our funded vacancies are filled within 4 months, and that phase one implementation of the SAP roadmap is completed. And thirdly, ethics governance structures in place and are rolled out to everyone. And that we have ethics management plan, and you can see the breakdown, honorable members, in terms of quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. Next slide. The next one is the percentage resolution of reported incidences of corruption in government. In our department, we want to make sure that on an annual basis, at least we resolve 90% of these cases. The next one is number of annual financial statements and interim financial statements complied per year that comply with guidelines issued by the National Treasury. The AFS should be submitted by 31st May, and the FS 30 days after each quarter. So those are the targets that we've set for the annual financial statement. As as instructed by National Treasury. So we have to comply with those dates. The elimination of irregular and unauthorized expenditure detected per financial year. We want to make sure that we reduce the irregular expenditure. Quarter one, we have 6% reduction, quarter two, 12%, quarter three, 18%, and quarter four, 25%. And the same with the elimination of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We've set the similar percentages as the irregular expenditure. Program two, inspection enforcement services. Next slide. Those are the number of employers that will be inspected per year to determine compliance with the employment law. We have an annual target of 221,556. We've broken it down into quarterly targets from 51,389, quarter 210, quarter 3,166, quarter 4,221. And the next one is the percentage of non-compliant employees of those inspected served with a notice in terms of the relevant labor legislation within 14 calendar days. Set those percentages. The third one is percentage of non-compliant employers received by statutory services referred for prosecution within 30 calendar days. We have set 65% across the four quarters. The number of formal advocacy sessions conducted per year to increase awareness of employment law. We said we're going to do four seminars. We've broken it down into quarters and two conferences, which will take place, one in quarter two and the other one in quarter four. In quarter three. Next slide. So that's the breakdown of the inspections that we're going to do per province, all adding up to 221. Next slide. Next slide, please. So these are the inspections that we would like to do we plan to do per legislation. But it's important that when we do inspections, we reflect the different pieces of legislation that we administer. So we've deliberately taken a decision that will do a targeted inspection so that we have a whole range of view in terms of the level of compliance of those legislations. Next slide. Can we have a next slide?
Whoever is controlling must please move faster. I'll give you 5 more minutes, DJ.
Thank you, Chair. The next program is Public Employment Services. Next. This branch has been allocated 643 million. And one of the functions that they do is to register work seekers on our employment services system. And the target, the annual target we've set is 750. We've broken it down into four quarters. A number of employment opportunities registered on the employment services system, 95,000. And these opportunities are going to be very important given the unemployment rate that we have and also that we're going to have because of COVID-19. The number of registered work seekers provided with employment counseling per year, 220,000. The number of registered employment opportunities filled by registered work seekers per year is 47,500. Next slide. Next slide, please. Number of partnerships agreement concluded with various stakeholders I have an annual target of 30, broken it down into different quarters. The number of policies developed and approved, the minister has indicated that we're in the process of developing an employment policy. We want to finalize that. That's why we have only one policy intervention that we're going to have. Next slide. So that's the breakdown of the public employment services targets in as far as the registration of work seekers are concerned. Next slide. This, again, is a provincial disaggregation of that, the target with regards to the number of work seekers provided with employment counseling. And this one is the number of registered employment opportunities filled by registered work seekers per province. Next slide. Next slide, please. We move to Program 4, Labor Policy and Industrial Relations. This branch has been allocated 1.3 billion, and they are responsible for transferring some of those funds to CCMA and NEDLAC. So the first responsibility that they have, which we alluded to earlier on, is the amendment to the Employment Equity Act. The annual target was that the Employment Equity Act amendments be tabled in Parliament by 31st March 2021. And secondly, the annual target was the 2019 up to 2020 annual employment equity report and public register published by 30 June 2020. The third one is the 2020 and 2021 annual employment equity report and public register developed by 31st March 2021. And the last one on this slide is the draft code of good practice on elimination of harassment and violence in the world of work developed by 31 March 2021. And of course that development of code of good conduct is dependent on the country ratifying Convention 190. 2.4, the development of income differential data collection tool that we spoke about earlier on, and the target was that we'll do that in quarter four. The next one is review of the national minimum wage level by 31st March 2021. The quarter one, the national minimum wage investigation report published by June 2020. And in quarter four, the national minimum wage reviewed and published to reflect new minimum wage rates by 31st March 2021. This is the work that is done by the National Minimum Wage Commission. 100% of collective agreements assessed and verified within 180 working days of receipt by 31st March 2020, and we've broken it down into different quarters. Next slide. Next slide, please. The 100% of labor organizations' application for registration approved or refused within 90 working days of receipt by 31st March. This is the work that is done by the Register of Labor Relations, where we register organized labor and organized businesses. Next slide. Two reports on the implementation of bilateral cooperation and multilateral obligations signed off by the Minister by 30th of April 2020. And we said in quarter one, we have one annual implementation report submitted and two reports on the implementation of bilateral cooperation and multilateral obligations signed off by the minister by 30th of April 2020. In quarter three, we'll do a midterm implementation report submitted to the minister. The The slide is about four annual labor market trend reports produced by 31st March 2021. And here we're talking about two annual labor market trends in quarter one reports produced by June 2020. These include the annual labor market bulletin, the job opportunity and unemployment in the SA labor market, and then quarter four, two annual labor market trend reports produced by March 2021. These include annual industrial report, annual administrative statistics report, and third one is research report in line with RME agenda produced and signed within the department. Quarter one, data collection tools approved. Quarter two, data collection completed. Quarter three, 100% of data collection completed. And of course, the final research completed in quarter four. Next slide. We're going to look at the budget allocation for 2020-2021. Next slide. So for 2021, we allocated just over 3.6 billion to do all the things that we said we will do. Can you go back to the slide? Yes, and we said we've been allocated 3.6. Can you go back? Can you go forward? Chair, we said we've been allocated 3.6 billion to do everything that we have mentioned thus far, and that is broken down into the different economic classifications. The current payments, we have just over 2 billion, 2.1 billion. And for compensation of employees, we have 1.4, just close to 1.5 billion. And then for goods and services, 687 million. And transfers and subsidies is, just 1.3 billion. And the households is just over 4,000, and the total, of course, is just over 3.6 billion chairperson. So that's where we're sitting with regards to the finances that were allocated to us to do to implement the APP that I've just presented. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then get the FEE presentation? I think the PS side has been taken care of in that by the DG. Just highlight the key points in 5 minutes.
Can we load the SEE presentation?
That's a wrong presentation.
Yeah, it's a wrong presentation.
Can you take us through, DC, using your copy while they're still uploading it? Honorable members do have the presentation, but as a person is trying to load it, you can maybe talk to your copy in the meantime.
Okay, Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Mrotoba to just take us through the presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you continue, Mr. Mrotoba? Using your own copy in the meantime. I think you, is it in the same one as the inspection and enforcement services? Or the one that is uploaded, the inspection? That's the correct one now, yeah. Can you continue in 5 minutes, Mr. Mrotoba?
If it's not available, I'll go to it.
Okay, all right.
Okay, this is the presentation for the supported employment enterprises. Again, it's on the first one is compliance to COVID-19 regulations, test annual targets, assistance to unemployed work seekers, employment relief post lockdown, managing labor migration policy, innovation and support needed to supported employment enterprises. Next slide. Person operations at head office, provincial and labor centers levels have been reorganized and adjusted accordingly to comply with the COVID-19 regulations. Management participated in the Dell COVID-19 action plan. Development process and risk assessment was conducted to protect staff as far as possible. SE COVID action plans to prepare for the reopening of factories were developed in accordance with the COVID-19 regulations. The SEE has also explored other measures that will include the light single phase machinery being provided to those above 60 years on chronic medication to work from home. Next slide. So the annual performance target, I think this...
I think you dealt with that one when you were dealing with,
yes.
Yeah,
yes,
with the public employment. Yeah.
Here we're just highlighting that we were in discussion with the Department of Social Development. We made our database available because we have 4.6 million work seekers that are registered on the database. So we made this database available to them so that it can assist them to disperse the 350 rands, which is a financial assistance to unemployed work seekers. Next slide. Here we're referring to the labor activation program and employment schemes that we run as a department. This is a plan that we have to deal with the post-COVID plans that we will need to put in place so that we continue to provide employment services programs to unemployed. So this is our contribution that we suggested that we will make. Okay, next slide. The minister earlier on spoke about the employment policy, and part of the employment policy includes labor migration policy. So we're saying here a draft national labor migration policy was developed with the assistance of the ILO. Roundtable discussions for government departments were convened on the 7th of February 2020. A process is now underway to ensure alignment with the Department of Home Affairs Immigration Act amendment process and to undertake economic and social and justice and security clusters consultation before going to cabinet. The department has suspended the processing of corporate and individual work permits in line with the Department of Home Affairs directives. Next slide. So again, this slide refers to what I spoke about earlier on with regards to the support that we able to provide to other departments for the disbursement of the 350 rands to the unemployed. Next slide. This is a supported employment enterprises. I'm not going to go into the history and the footprints, but I'm going to talk about what we do. These are our factories now. As you can see, that's the footprint. Next slide. These are the products that we make. Next slide. Yes. So these are the factories that we have and the location of these factories. Just to indicate again that the only province where we don't have a factory is Mpumalanga. We plans are underway to make sure that there's a factory there as well. Slide. So what we're reflecting here is that during this period, our factories have been kept busy. Mainly, we have a project which we were thankfully given by the Department of Health, the Western Cape, to a value of 9 million. And these are the products that we have to produce for them. Bed sheets, surgical gowns, theater pens, doctor's shirts, operating gowns. Next slide. The challenges that we're sitting with now are the decentralization of procurement of COVID-19 PPEs to provincial and municipal levels by National Treasury, which is making it very difficult for the National Department of Health to coordinate and ensure that SMEs, co-ops, and social enterprises like SEE benefit from current massive contracts. Insufficient support from provincial departments of health, despite national contract with National Department of Health being in place, and prices of social enterprises being approved by Treasury. Inflation of raw material prices by suppliers when dealing with social enterprises like SEE co-ops and SMMEs. Next slide. Well, that's a required intervention which talks to the policy on set aside for social enterprises and provincial governments, municipalities, hospitals, schools, and government departments to reserve some level of procurement to social enterprises. Next slide. We thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, SDG. It's just 1 minute past three. I'm going to now give an opportunity to members to ask questions. I'll request members that by 3:30, we should be done with the question, so that we allow the minister and the DG to respond to questions. As I indicated, DG, there will be some questions on the meeting chat already from Honorable Bosho. So we will take questions for 2 minutes per member, but will be flexible up to 3 minutes maximum. If you can, members, try and make it for 2 minutes, will be really... let me start with Honorable Matebula. She normally has a problem with her microphone, but if she can, then she will ask a question via the meeting chat. Honorable Matebula? I think she's got a problem. Honorable Tim, any questions?
Chair, thank you. I have no questions. Can I give my minutes to Honorable Bosoff?
Okay. Honorable Bosoff, can you take it, please?
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon to everybody. Chair, it is really of concern that the SEE sub-program under the PES was the only one to see a decrease in funding. This program is there to support the country's disabled people, and it looks as if we're not taking them seriously. The message is also then sent to these people that we don't actually care about you. Is there anything that we can do about that to ensure that the program, the money made available to the SEEs, are increased, especially in the light of them having to now make procurement equipment like masks and aprons and stuff like that and overalls? What I would also like to know is, why is South Africa lagging behind other African countries in their competitive status? If the department can just give us an explanation on that. And then I'm also concerned about the underspending across all the programs. How is this being monitored? And what measures have been implemented to address the underspending? We could have seen this underspending being used, for instance, with the SEE, or then getting more inspectors trained and out and paid to ensure people are adhering to the necessary regulations. And then what measures are in place to address possible industrial actions that could arise due to retrenchments and businesses closing down? This will have a detrimental effect on the inclusive growth that the department keeps on speaking to. We know that COVID has got an is having an impact on it, but industrial actions are going to have a huge impact as well. And then another thing that is of concern is that the loss of inspectors to the private sector and then to the Department of Mineral Resources. What strategies are in place to retain these inspectors? What is the staff complement turnover with regard to inspectors if our salary scales are not on the right level to retain them? And the staff complement. I'd like to have a figure per quarter or per annum and what the cost is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Boshoff. Honourable Zuma, your 3 minutes starts now. Honourable Zuma.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question is on inspection and enforcement as far as occupational health and safety is concerned. What measures have you put in place to ensure that all offices have been sanitized before the employees could go back to work in order to comply with the regulations? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kado, your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you very much, Chair. My first question is, has the department reconsidered its annual performance plan and strategic plan in light of the coronavirus pandemic, especially given that we might be staring 3 to 7 million job losses in the face? That would render all the job creation targets set by the job summit null and void. COVID-19 is going to fundamentally change the labour market and the nature of employment in South Africa. What does that mean for the department? Is it thinking ahead to what its reconfigured role will be? Secondly, if the DG or the minister could provide some clarification on the employment equity amendments that the DG referred to, are these the same amendments that Cabinet submitted to Parliament in February? That's the amendment bill that gives the minister the power to set sectoral targets. Is this really the time for government to be setting sectoral employment equity targets when we don't know what sectors of the economy are going to be left standing after COVID-19? Allied to that, both the Minister of Employment and Labour and the Minister of Finance last week mentioned that he was dissatisfied with the number of foreign nationals working in the restaurant, tourism and hospitality industries. Are there going to be moves afoot made by the department to legislate and also introduce sectoral targets or in effect quotas for foreign national workers? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kado. Honourable Dango?
Thank you very much. I think the what we're dealing with here is what was passed by the NA, that any adjustments regarding COVID-19 will be presented as an adjustment bill. So I think we should actually, when we debating these issues here, look at what we're dealing with now and looking forward as what COVID-19 could produce and that impact, which is an adjustment bill that we look at the future. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Dana.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Carter has covered two of my questions, but let me ask a question that is not related as much to the presentation. I would just like to inquire as to when the National Minimum Wage Commission's report will be available on the effect of the National Minimum Wage since it has been instituted. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ntlangwini.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for the warm welcome to the portfolio. Chair, mine is going to be a bit crossed. I won't be able to say the slide numbers because I'm struggling to load my slide presentation. Mine is also to come in, and it may be that I'm still also new on the committee, and maybe I will ask a question that the answer is relatively simple. So please just bear with me while I'm still finding my feet on the labour issues. Mine is, Chair, on the inspectors versus the inspections that is going to be doing, and versus the ratio based on the targets that are set for how many inspections is the department going to do. What is the ratio per inspector? Because I see the department has put a number there as to how many inspections are they going to be doing within this financial year. What is the ratio per inspector? How many inspections can the inspector do? And then my other one is also on the job seekers, Chair, on the 350 rand on the job seekers. I see there's a figure there of 4.6 million job seekers that is already in the system, if I'm correct, DG. When was this figures compiled that we know exactly that we do have 4.6 million job seekers within the system that may be liable of getting this 350 rand to sort of help them so that we don't find a situation whereby we are paying out people that don't even exist anymore, or we are paying people from the grave. So just to make sure there. And then the last one, Chair, is on the non-profit institutions that I have seen on the DG's presentation. How many non-profit institutions do we have in the department? As I said, I'm fairly new, so I still need to make myself comfortable with all of the aspects, because I just see the number and the money that will be going to those non-profit organizations. So I just would like to find the figure as to how many non-profit institutions does the department have. Thank you, Chair. And the rest of the other questions that I still have, I will just ask on the chat as you have guided us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Maimank.
Chairperson, my engagement will be related to slide 17 that speaks to the new indicator there, the employment policy that is highlighted in that slide. I just want to check with the Honorable Minister as to whether this new indicator, is it linked to the new mandate of the department? Is it linked to the reconfiguration of the department? And how will that have impact on program three that speaks to public employment services, particularly given the target that is set there around 350,000 work seekers. Will this re-engineer and also result in the increase of this target, given the devastating impact that the contraction in our gross domestic product will have on our economy, but more than that, the impact of the pandemic. Lastly, let me commend the good work that the leadership of the minister has displayed in terms of cushioning the mitigating the devastating impact that our vulnerable workers, those in class and the poor, are having as a result of this lockdown. The figures that you highlighted in the last two engagements that we have had are quite impressive. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Nansele. Honorable Nansele, are you there? Okay. Honorable Lehmans. Honorable Lehmans. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Honorable Nombulelo Lehmans. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you please continue and ask a question?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to be very short. I don't think I will take 3 minutes. Chair, in the previous presentations that have been done by the department to the portfolio committee, there was one of the issues that was coming up. The shortage of inspectors in the area of the Northern Cape province, which was a problem, and the inspection work that had been done in the province. Now, when I'm looking into the reconfiguration, or when we look into the issue of COVID-19, that might lead to changes to the program of the department. What is going to happen with such province? That is number one. Then an additional question to that one. We have inspectorates of the district municipalities, your environmental health inspectors, which are doing partly some of the work that they are doing. It's the work that is done by the department. I just want to check in the areas that the department cannot visit, what is the possibility of linking the work of the department and the work of the district municipalities in those areas where the inspectors cannot visit? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Barclay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just have a short technical question to ask, that with the shrinking of the workforce, and possibly up to 7 million people being retrenched over the next year, shouldn't we scrap the BEE regulations completely, as no one's expanding their workforce at all? Over and above that, I also think we really need to have a look at some of our regulations, which are so horrifically acting as a handbrake to job creation. Maybe the department needs to have a real look at it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ngabane.
Thank you, Chair. I've been trying to raise my hand on the chat. Unfortunately, the chat is indicating that the admin is disabled the chat for one or more users. Chair, I think that one as well needs to be corrected, because some of the members, they won't be in a position to raise their questions on the chat should the 3 minutes lapse. Chair, I'm partly covered by the issues that have been raised by my colleagues here. I also wish to commend the department for led by the Ministry for the good work done. Chairperson, we can see that in terms of the APPs and strategic plans, they are aligned to government service delivery priorities, which is good. However, Chairperson, I had a look at slide 42, which talks about its program for Chair, labor policy and industrial relations, Chair. Chair, on 2.3,
it says, Chair, can you mute your microphone, please? Okay, you can continue, Honorable Ngabang.
Yes, thank you, Chair. On 2.3, Chair, one of the indicators is to develop code of good practice, aiming at eliminating harassment and violence in the world of work, Chair. So what I want to get from the department, Chair, and the ministry is that, is it going to be a development of a new code of practice, Chair, or is it going to be an amendment to the existing code of good practice, which is then going to close the gap that exists on the existing one that was enacted on the 19th of December 2018 by the then Minister Oliphant? I want to get that, Chair. Is it going to be the development of a new code of good practice that is going to look at the issues of harassment and violence in the workplace, or is it going to be an amendment of the existing one that is going to have either a paragraph or a clause that deals specifically with the issues of harassment and violence in the workplace? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hendricks. Honorable Hanif Hendricks.
Hello, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I raised the issue on the chat about the sheltered employment factories, which I'm very familiar with, especially the ones in Epping and in Abini here in the Western Cape and in Durban. They are well geared up to make the protective clothing that we need, like body bags and masks and items for the hospitals. I just wanted to know if their expertise are being used, because, you know, everyone likes to go get back to work, and producing those essential items will be very useful for the country and very satisfying for the workers. I would like to know whether those 10 insulted employment factories under the watch of the department is operating, and whether they are being used to assist the nation with these protective items. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Inanna. Honorable Inanna. Honorable Nonsele. Honorable Nonsele.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah, you can continue and ask your question. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't note that my mic was off.
Oh, that's why.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Honorable Chair, the question, I said I want to first to greet everyone, including Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, the Honorable Chairs and all Honorable Members. In appreciation of the input by the Minister, my question would be, that's with regard to areas that relate to closure of companies or factories by either local municipality and other levels of government at lower level. What guidance should we give there, particularly when these lead to legal challenges, so that we do not end up as both the committees, and that is the oversight committees as well as the department, get pulled in at an awkward moment. So it's just a question of guidance that I would I would check from the Honourable Minister. The second one relates to the presentation that is of the strategic plan, pages 28 and 29, wherein the targets are set at 90%, not at 100%. It's just a clarity from the DG as to whether, for instance, are we what principle, or is it an acceptable principle? If it is, it's fine. But just a clarity on that. The next question relates to page 36 on public employment services. The target there for partnership is 30. Just clarity as to the total number currently of partnerships we have. That is, where this 30, or do we review the partnership for each and every term? Lastly, Chair, is with regard to SEEs. The issue there relates to the partnership that we have developed with regard to sharing information, that is, of the 4.6 million unemployed database. So the question would be, for new entries on that database, will they come from social development, or should we, that is, social development will rely on the department for all the new entries, so that there is a controlled or a managed process that feeds or make additions to the database that we have provided. Lastly, Chair, the issue is with regard to the National Treasury Regulation, with regard to procurement of the PPEs and other COVID-related interventions. The regulations that basically allow for municipalities and the lower levels of government institutions to do the project. The proposal there is basically for us to make the representation, and I would say that as a committee we should support that proposal, so that the SEEs are in fact enabled Yeah.
Can you perhaps continue with your question on the chat?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't get you.
I say you can continue with the rest of your question on the chat icon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Honorable Inanna, I've dealt with all the members except the chair. Honorable Dunja, I'll ask you can ask the question, but also I'm handing over to you to guide the responses from the minister and the DG, as well as the minutes of the meeting. But I would also request that when the DG is responding, he must also look at the meeting chat. There are questions that are posted on that chat. Over to you, Honorable Dunja.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't have a question. My questions have been asked by other members. I will then hand over to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the DG for responses on questions that have been asked. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honourable Minister, if you do want to respond.
I request that the DG starts so that the DM and I will sweep. So on, Honourable Tangwin.
Okay, that on the chat icon, Honourable Deputy Minister has requested to leave. She's going to another meeting. So she's not with us right now. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the question relating to the decrease in the funding for SEE,
just to indicate that every year we submit inputs based on our needs to National Treasury for funding. And certainly when it comes to SEE, we've also submitted those inputs. I must just indicate that there's an expectation that these factories will generate income. They will generate revenue from the products that they manufacture. So in them being funded by the state, I suppose that expectation for them to, you know, to generate income. And with the decrease in funding, they are being pushed to make sure that they focus on the on improving their manufacturing and also making sure that they generate some funding. Would appreciate if honorable members were to, if they, as indicated by the honorable member, that the funding is decreasing, and if members would like to intervene, we will not say no to that, because our intention is also to expand the factories, as indicated, that we don't have a factory in Mpumalanga, so we'd like to have a factory in Mpumalanga. And I must say that if during this period going forward, these factories do well in terms of getting work from different departments, the issue of them being allocated funds by the state, I think it's not going to be an issue going forward. As long as they are guaranteed work, they'll be able to generate revenue to sustain themselves. I didn't get the question on the why is SA lagging behind. I think it's in, not too sure if it's its productivity levels compared to African countries. I didn't get that. Maybe the honorable member can just post it on the chat. We'll try and get it there. And the underspending, is underspending monitored? Could that money, which we underspent by, used to fund SEE? We can't do that because in government, you can't use money which was meant for the compensation of employees and use it for other things. So unless there's an agreement with National Treasury to transfer those funds, do what we call vayaments, move those funds from its originally intended purpose to be used for something else. And usually this underspending, which is as a result of compensation of employees, it is due to the fact that filling of vacancies is a moving target. So you'll see that mostly in the department, we employ people who are in tenure. And that's why we would have, vacancies, because we promote people inside the department. And we monitor funding. We monitor the expenditure on a regular basis, on a quarterly basis, in fact. Around the issue of dealing with possible strikes due to retrenchment, we have the CCMA, which deals with all issues relating to, disputes, prevention of disputes. So they are there. They are standing ready to provide the service if they are needed. So we hope that we're not going to have too many retrenchments, but given the situation we find ourselves in, it seems to us that that's inevitable. In an event that happens, we have CCMA ready. Loss of inspectors and to DMR and other and to the private sector, what's our strategy to retain these inspectors? We do have we do have a policy that is aimed at retaining the inspectors. But what we cannot, and we've been trying this thing over the years, we cannot compete with the private sector, for instance. I mean, they offer our inspectors huge sums of money that government cannot afford. But what we try to do is to give them a working environment that supports their growth, and most importantly, that supports their professional development. Because we don't think that the only money, is responsible, or money can, make people happy or retain. We can give them a lot of money, but if we don't provide good environment, they will still leave. In fact, our experience is that a number of inspectors who have left the department, they want to come back because they suddenly realize that the grass is not greener on the other side. They were most probably looking at it wearing a different lens. So we do have a policy that addresses this. We have a staff complement of 170 inspectors. In the presentation, we expressed that we will increase the number by 500, so which means that we will add 500, so we'll have 670 inspectors at the end of this this financial year. So that number is not enough, of course, but it will, it will go a long way in assisting us to have an impact. Measures to ensure that workplace complies with the return to work. The minister issued a direction which was aimed at companies to prepare what we call a return to work plans. They have to do a proper risk assessment. They have to take measures to make sure that they put controls in place so that when workers come back, they're not exposed to the hazard associated with COVID-19. So in that directive, there are a whole host of measures that have been prescribed to companies to comply with. So that is in place. I'm struggling here to respond to the question raised by Honorable Kado, because Honorable Dango said that we need to look at what we have as what's in the medium-term strategic framework and the budget approved in February. So our presentation is based on the medium-term strategic framework that was approved, and the APPs that were developed in line with that. But I'll take instruction from you, Chair, in terms of how I deal with that. The clarity on EA amendments, whether it's really the time for setting sectoral targets. Yes, we're referring to the amendments that were submitted to Parliament, and these amendments, they of course talk about the setting of sectoral targets. I don't think that because we find ourselves in this situation, the issue of the transformation of the labor market and the transformation of our economy should be put aside. I think as we phase in the economic activity, as we try to boost the productivity of the companies, I don't think that the transformation agenda should be put aside. I think we should drive these things concurrently, and so that we don't at the end of the day say we forgot about these things And now we must start the process from scratch, because if we do that, I don't think we'll be able to achieve anything. So our view is that this is still very, very important, that it, the transformation must be effected in the labor market. Are we going to, in the employment policy and in the labor migration policy, what we're trying to do is to deal with the issue of the foreign nationals that are employed in certain sectors. Now, we know that those that are in the country legally and they are allowed to work, we don't necessarily have an issue with that, because there's a legislated process that they've followed. It's either their services were they were brought into the country because we needed skills, which is provided for in the different policies that we have, and we know how we know the process to be followed to be able to deal with that. What we are concerned with are those foreign nationals that are in the country legally employed illegally, and in the process being subjected to all sorts of inhumane treatment because they don't have a say, even though our legislations are clear that irrespective of whether you are in the country legally or illegally, you're supposed to enjoy the same legal benefits or legal rights that are accorded to the South Africans. So in the employment policy and in the labor migration policy, we provide that clarity so that the minister can again designate certain sectors. So this is provided for in the policy. When is the National Commission report made available? In the presentation, we indicated that by June this year. On the inspections, the rate, what is the ratio per inspector? It depends, because companies are not the same. So if you're going to inspect if you're going to target small companies, you could be doing 4 inspections a day. But if you're going to inspect bigger companies, you could be doing 1 inspection a day, or you could be doing 1 inspection a week, depending on the size of the company that you're inspecting and the issues that you must look at as an inspector. But as an average, an inspector does 2 inspections a day. Job seekers, I just want to explain this thing of 350. The department is not responsible for disbursement of 350 rands. It's Department of Social Development. All what we're trying to indicate is that we made available to them a database which consists of 4.6 million unemployed workers that are registered by the department and that we continue, well, before the lockdown, we continued to register these unemployed or the work seekers. And that's why in the presentation I was indicating that we've set targets for the registration of work seekers, because this database continues to grow. And in fact, when people come to the department to apply for the unemployment insurance funds benefits, the ordinary benefits, if they've been retrenched or their services have been terminated elsewhere, the condition is that they must be looking for a job, condition for them to access the benefits. So immediately when they make the application, automatically registered as work seekers. So that's how we compile this database. It continues to grow. On the non-profit organizations, how many do we support? Every year we advertise that we will be we advertise that those NPOs who will require assistance must apply, and we often work with the councils for the blind and others. So the number is determined by the amount of money that we have. So if the money that we have decreases, so that number is going to go down as well, because it depends on the available resources. The question asked by Honorable Kenny, the employment policy, I think I responded to it. Is it linked to the new mandate? Well, it is linked to the new mandate, because when the skills development was transferred to the higher education and training, there's one component of it that left with the department, which is what we now call public employment services. So that employment element has been with the department. What the president did by announcing or by including the employment element to the work that we do, the president was reinforcing what is already contained in the Public Employment Act, and the employment policy is one of those policies that are supposed to be developed by the department through the employment services branch. And that's why it's important that we have that, because of course it will impact on whether we increase the target or not in terms of placement. Because if the minister is given the legal right to set the sectoral targets, what will this happen is that in areas where there's preference for foreign nationals, the minister will most probably determine that for instance, the restaurants, the minister will then say, in this sector, only this percentage of foreign nationals will be allowed to work. This is not a new thing. It happens all over the world. It's part of the labor market employment policies. So for now, we're not sure whether the target will increase or decrease, but we think that that employment policy will go a long way in addressing a number of challenges that we have in the labor market. And the shortage of inspectors in the Northern Cape, we have addressed this matter, and we indicated that the shortage, the reason why they didn't do inspections in the previous month was that they didn't have PPEs. So we're insisting that none of our inspectors must go out and do an inspection if they don't have PPEs. So with the 500 addition to the OHS inspection team, Northern Cape will be also getting quite a few, so as to increase the number of OHS inspectors that they have. With regards to collaboration between the environmental, the municipal environmental inspectors, we are in the process of exploring that. We are in the process of exploring collaboration not only with environmental inspectors, but also with a whole host of other inspection bodies that we, you know, that we license as a department to operate. So we are for collaboration. We are busy working towards that because we think that it will go a long way in augmenting the numbers that we have. The question relating to whether we shouldn't be scrapping BE codes, I think that I already touched on the importance of transformation. Unfortunately, the experience has taught us that in most cases, when it comes to issues of transformation, self-regulation hasn't worked. Because if there was willingness to transform, we wouldn't be having these legislations that we have. And if today we would be talking about whether we should put aside the BE codes. We think that legislation is still relevant to make sure that there is transformation. Well, with regards to the review of these horrible legislation that Honorable Pakrem is talking about, the responsibility of Parliament is to make laws. We simply a department, and if honorable members here have the view that we need to review these legislations, we will oblige as a department. So we'll await the instruction of Parliament and the honorable members in as far as that is concerned. The development of code of good practice with regards to whether it is an amendment or a development of a new code. You'll know that the current code that we have only refers to harassment and sexual harassment. It doesn't go deeper in terms of addressing the issues that the new the Convention 190 addresses. You will also know that the current Code of Good Practice does not include the gender-based kind of violence. It merely talks about the prohibition of sexual harassment in the workplace. So this one is a complete new code which takes into account everything that is contained in Convention 190. So I suppose it's going to be a new code, but it will take a number of those things that are in the existing existing code of good practice. Well, the Honorable Hanif Chairperson still refers to supported employment enterprises as sheltered employment enterprises. We changed that name long time ago. We now call it supported employment enterprises. And he's right, they are geared up to contribute to the manufacturing of personal protective equipment. We have been supporting SANDF now. And also in the department, we're wearing masks that are made by these factories. So they are hard at work as we speak. So, and they have the expertise to do this work. So that's why we are appealing to all of you, honorable members, to assist us so that we can put these 13 factories and the skilled people that we have into good use for the benefit of the country. I didn't get the question raised by Honorable Mentele on the closure of companies leading to legal challenges. Maybe we'll check it on the chat. the target set at 90% instead of 100. We, as I indicated, we would like to set all our targets at 100. But there are dependencies. And setting it at 90% takes into account those dependencies. And we always want to set targets that, as a department, that reflect the fact that we're in control of the situation. In instances where you're not in control and there are dependencies, you find it very difficult to set targets at 100%. And also these targets are based on the resources that we have. I think I responded to this question of partnerships with NPOs. We then have a target of 30, and this is based on the resources that we have. And of course, we don't have a, we review this, that's why we advertise. To participate in our program. I think I also responded to the issue of this database. This is not, DSD has got its own, in fact, SASA, they've got their own database, and they've got their own system that they are using to disperse these 350 rands. All what we're indicating is that we said we have a database in case they need to use it, and we were in discussion with them, and the SASA took a decision to follow a different route, and they're entitled to do so. The procurement of PPE is, we support the proposal for the committee to support our recommendation that the SCE be supported. I tried, Chair, to pick up some of the questions on the chat. One question was saying representation of Africans and colored people is low in the department. What is the plan to address this? Well, just like any other workplace or any other employer, we have an employment equity plan in the department. When we fill vacancies, we base our decisions on our employment equity plan. So we are in the process of addressing all these areas that that still need to be addressed. The 275,000 jobs created as per the job summit, which sectors? Well, all the sectors, manufacturing, and all the sectors of the economy, the finance, they are there. Salary scales, well, it depends on the and how these people that are employed are engaged in terms of the program. Some of these programs are permanent jobs and some of them are temporary jobs. That's the nature of the employment. So I wouldn't indicate the salary scales and salary levels because it depends on the contracts that people sign. How many inspectors in the department that we plan to employ this year? I indicated that we're planning to employ extra 500 inspectors to increase the number of OHS inspectors to 670. I didn't get all the questions, Chair. There are still some questions okay. that I have not responded to that are on the chat. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Can we now get the minister? Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few comments. In relation to Honorable Cardo's comment, we are dealing with, in fact, what we are presenting here is what was prepared prior to COVID-19, prior to this pandemic. Even the budget which was presented or as presented by the Ministry of Finance was drawn prior to COVID-19. Clearly, we are not going to behave as if COVID-19 has not impacted on our programs. But the reality and technically now in terms of the parliamentary processes, we have to present a budget which we prepared prior to COVID-19 and the programs which were presented prior to COVID-19. That's what we have done. We have presented those programs as prepared then. But we assume that the government and the Minister of Finance in particular will have to present a budget review or a revised budget and to Parliament, which will be the basis for us to review our own programs, because that review will be based on the new allocations. Clearly, and we must not dream here and expect a lot of money, there are going to be cuts across the departments, across the programs of government. The very 500 billion we're talking about to intervene, where does it come from? It comes from the cuts all over. All of us will have to do more with the little. It's going to be worse now. And you remember even the budget which was presented was starting to be very heavy on other areas, cutting them and so on. So it's the same with the mass retrenchments and increase in unemployment. Our own fund, the UIF fund, I think it's going to be under very serious strain. And there's going to be heavy dependence on the state, whilst the state is heavily stressed. And I'm listening to a number of commentators internationally now. Very, I would say, scholars in economics are starting to say this is the era of the state moving into the center, which has been the opposite view not long ago. But what is very clear is the state must come into the center and deal with these issues. And to deal with this mass unemployment, one of the strategies would be to ramp up and formalize what you call public employment. We have to formalize a lot of public employment programs, and these must be labor intensive. We can't put everything to tender. But also, the country might have to ramp up also on its own infrastructure. Both the hard and the soft infrastructure is going to be very critical. When it comes to roads, when it comes to water, the building of the dams, when it comes to lots of infrastructure, I think the country is still behind. So if we were to ramp up in that, we might be able in some of the industries to create more jobs. And when we're talking about what this pandemic, the positive side of the pandemic, it has forced us to use now the technology. Whoever thought that we'll have parliamentary meetings online like we're doing today? I think the issue of the 4IR, the technology, is going to go up. We might have to look into those areas for massive training, skills development in those particular areas. So there are opportunities which we will have to look into. The last one is the issue of employment policy and migration. This process has started. This process has started even when I came to employment and labor. The process was already there. It has started. But there's more pressure now that you finalize this thing. It's common, it's well known by most of the MPs that you talk agriculture, you talk private security companies, that industry, you talk the hotel, the hospitality industry, the restaurant and so on. For some reason, employers have preferred to have more of the foreign nationals or non-South African nationals than the South African nationals for whatever the reason. Some of the reasons in other sectors has to do with the skills, but even that is regulated. And some, it has to do with the fact that this is cheap labor, which they can easily exploit. What we'll be trying to deal with, you can't sit with millions of unemployed South Africans. And in certain industries, you just allow the non-South Africans to be employed without any regulation. We must introduce those quotas and stick to those quotas and be very hard to those quotas. Because now, as much as there are different statutes which are regulating the issue of the non-South Africans with different status, but I don't think we've been able to pull it together in a simplified manner. There are different statutes, but I think if in doing that, we must not be seen to be xenophobic. We must not be seen to be violating the international conventions which we have signed at the UN level. But at the same time, we must be able to protect our national interests by focusing on our people. So all I'm trying to say, it's going to be a balancing act. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you very much to members that have asked questions and the responses that we have received. We will request that the department respond to those charts, and then so that the responses are forwarded to the committee section for the committee section to circulate those to members. Yes, members, we are at a stage that we are going to be forced to amend some of the regulations that are governing workplaces, but it can be on the basis that they are horrible. They have been horrible. Sorry, Honorable Bagram. Maybe at an appropriate time, you will have to unpack what you mean by that. Having said that, Honorable Members, one, again, I'm requesting on behalf of all members that the department circulate the directive that the minister has talked about in terms of the workplaces that are to be ready, and how then are they going to conduct themselves during this time of the pandemic of COVID-19. Two, can I make a proposal, Honorable Members, sorry, that we deal with minutes next week, because it has come to my attention that some members may not have received the minutes of the previous meetings. So we will immediately after this meeting, I will check with the secretariat. All members are to be circulated with minutes so that in the next meeting next week on Tuesday, we will then deal with the entity and then factor in the minutes for them to be approved. With that, Honorable Members, can I then request that we close the meeting, because we have only been given 2 minutes, 2 hours, and thank the Honorable Khai for co-chairing, and thank all Honorable Members for interacting, and those that have chatted, continue doing that, and sorry for those that couldn't then connect with us. I will then request the secretariat to also circulate all documents to the new member from the EFF, so that at her own time she empower herself with the processes and all the deliberations and the documents from the department. Having said that, thank you very much, Honorable Members. Our meeting is adjourned until we meet next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Where are you?